Good morning. When we first had our first child, we had a baby shower, and at that baby shower, we were given a bear, right? And so the bear was really cute stuffed animal bear that had little spots on it, and the spots, you could press each spot, and it would tell you a Bible verse. The right hand had you just press on it, and it would say Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. And it was really great, right? So we wanted to raise our kids in studying Scripture and knowing Scripture and memorizing, and we thought this was the best present ever, right? TJ really enjoyed it too. He took it to bed a couple of times, and then would roll over on it. So it would, in the middle of the night, it'd go, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. And he would push it all the way down the aisles, everywhere he'd go in the halls. And for some reason, Acts 16:31 was the one it got pushed all the time. And after a while, you didn't even have to push the button anymore. For some reason, it would just go off in the middle of the night. And so, or in the middle of nap time. And before long, it was just going off almost all the time. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts 16:31, I still remember it now. I don't even have to look it up because I heard it so many times. It was wonderful, except for in the middle of the night and all the time. I kind of picture Paul, not like that, not annoying, but always proclaiming the gospel. Wherever he went, Paul would always be proclaiming the gospel. Currently in the book of Philemon, if you want to turn to Philemon with me, he is in prison. He's a prisoner, and he's still preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And people come from all over to hear him and talk to him. He's probably in Rome at this time, and he's some believe he might have been in a prison in Ephesus, but he's probably in Rome. They're coming, and along came a slave named Onesimus, who came either he got stuck in prison with Paul, or he just came to hear Paul. We don't know how they met, but we do know that through Onesimus coming to Paul and talking to Paul, Onesimus realizes his faulty ways. He realizes the sin that was in his life. He realizes that he needed to be saved. And so he comes to trust in Jesus as his Savior. He believes in him and repents of his previous way of life, and he becomes discipled by Paul. And now Onesimus had run away from his home of which were Christians named Philemon. Philemon had a church that met in his house. We're going to learn in just a second. His wife is named Apphia. And they probably had a son, is who we think it is, named Archippus. And the church met in their house. And Onesimus had run away from this house. He probably was not easy to live with because he was living for his own lusts and desires. He was living a life of sin. He probably stole something from Philemon. He ran away. In Roman culture, slaves could be doctors, could be carpenters, could be different things. It wasn't the slavery that we kind of picture now. They actually were people that were conquered over time, but they were slaves, enslaved to the Roman Empire. But if you let a slave run away, you were supposed to report them. If you didn't report them, you'd get in trouble because Rome wanted to keep a certain level hierarchy, right? If you let that hierarchy go away, then their governmental structure goes away. So many scholars believe that Philemon would be in trouble if he didn't report that Onesimus ran away. So he put Onesimus in a pretty big bind to report. Philemon in a big bind. If he didn't report, then Onesimus left. Onesimus left on bad terms, seeking his own desires, his own wants, his own lusts, his own thoughts. So what we see here today in the letter to Philemon from Paul is we're going to see an example of the ministry of reconciliation that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians that we read earlier. That we're going to see a very visual and vivid example of that. So if you'll stand with me, I'm going to read Philemon for you. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now indeed he is useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, and I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Father, we do come to you now. We ask that you show us the example here. Show us how we are to live and how we are to believe in you. And may we follow after you with all of our heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why should Paul care that Onesimus should go back to Philemon? Why is that even a thing, right? Because Onesimus is running from Philemon. He's running from there. But obviously, he hasn't gotten in much trouble, unless he is in prison physically with Paul. But either way, he was free because he's now being sent back to Philemon. So why is it important, though, that this reconciliation happen? Well, we see that. We see kind of a part of the story here is in the prayer that Paul prays for Philemon. And it's in verse 6. He says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." So for one of the reasons is the sharing there. The word sharing is not it's not evangelism. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the Greek word koinonia. I totally butchered it. Hey, he's talking about that Greek word, and that Greek word means fellowship. So fellowshipping of our faith. It's something that God does with the believers. He puts us in together, in fellowship with one another, and in that fellowship, we have life. We share among one another. We partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ together. We preach the gospel to one another. We teach each other the word. We get together weekly and discuss God's word and God and who he is. We live life together, because outside of God, there is no life. There's only death and destruction and slavery to sin. And so we who have been saved gather together, and in that koinonia, in that word, in that is the idea that because of God, we can get together and fellowship in him together, and that the sharing of that faith, the sharing of the faith that makes us saved, the sharing of that faith will be effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in the, for the sake of Christ, that it will build in us the knowledge and it will make us complete for the sake of every good thing in Christ, that we will be able to see life, to grow in him, to bless one another, to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, because that is the way God has made it. And so if Onesimus does not go back, he actually hinders, possibly, because if Philemon finds out that Onesimus is hanging out with Paul, that could put a large barrier between Philemon and to Paul. That could put major problems. All of a sudden, Paul becomes that guy. He stole my slave, or he stole. That guy who hurt our lives so much, stole money from me. He's now hanging out with Paul. What do we do? And so it becomes a problem, right? And so that is part of the gospel reconciliation that Paul is doing here. That is why he is sending Onesimus back, because he did not want any kind of division. He didn't want any kind of barrier between himself and this church. He had never been to that church. In fact, apparently Epaphras was the one who had gone through that whole area and had been preaching the gospel and had seen many people come to Christ. But Epaphras, if you look at the in verse 23, Epaphras is with Paul in prison. And so that's how Paul knows about the whole story. Plus, he met Onesimus, and that's in Onesimus' story. And so that's how he knows about Philemon at all. And that's how he knows what he says. So how do we go about this reconciliation? If you find yourself in a divisive situation, we see here that Paul sets us for us a good example. He starts with complimenting. He starts with very kind things to say about Philemon. First off, he says that his normal standard greeting to Philemon: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. He also says, scanning down, verse 7, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So he's telling him, look, I have heard the good things that you've done, and I've heard that you love the saints, that you are doing a good work here in your house, that the hearts of the saints are being refreshed. So that's the first thing he does. Secondly, Paul also knows that while he is an apostle and he has special standing in the church, that he's still in a personal relationship situation. You can't demand someone to reconcile with someone else. Those of you with parents that are parents know when you have two children and they're fighting with one another and they're getting on each other's nerves and they're very upset, you can't really demand them to make up. You can say you're sorry, but what you end up with is I'm sorry. What you end up with is I'm not really sorry. But so Paul knows, though, because of his status as apostleship, he knows that he's bold enough, and he would tell them, you have to make up. You have to reconcile here. But he knows that really what the heart of the apostle, the heart of any elder, the heart of any Christian should be is for us to repent and believe and to love the other Christians, to love our neighbor, right? That's what we're supposed to do on our own from what God is doing in our lives, from what we're hearing. That is part of the good things that that Paul is saying we should do from the fellowshipping with one another. So accordingly, in verse 8, he says, though he's bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. So he appeals to them. He tells them he's heard of his good works and he's loved, and he appeals for him. And then, not only does he make this appeal without telling him that he has to do it, but he actually seeks out his consent in working with Onesimus further. Because Philemon is in charge of Onesimus legally. And so he says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent. And so he acknowledges that this is a tight spot for Philemon in verse 14. He says, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you, so that he could get saved, and now you may have him back forever. So another thing that Paul does here is verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, he lines up with them and says, look, I am working with you on this. We are one team. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And he asks him to receive him. So that is what Paul did to Paul's part in this reconciliation. Now Philemon, I don't want to minimize his hurt here, because I want you to understand that Onesimus put him in a very tough situation. He put him in a very difficult situation. I doubt he wanted to turn him in as a lost slave. But maybe he did. It just depends on what all Onesimus had done. But Onesimus had either stolen or had hurt the family or who knows what. You think about the worst things in this world, and it all becomes straight from sin, right? It's our desires, our lust of the flesh, our boastful pride of life. You think of the worst things you've ever done, and you think of someone having to forgive you for those things. And that's where we find Onesimus here, and where we find Philemon, and how it is his responsibility now to receive Onesimus in love and in kindness. And in fact, Paul says, I'm confident of your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. And at the same time, prepare a guest room for me. And also in verse 19, Paul said that he would write this with his very own hands, and he even guarantees he will repay what Philemon is owed from Onesimus, to say nothing of your owing me everything, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you. But Paul would repay Philemon for what Onesimus had done. Okay, so that is our example. That is Paul's example of the ministry of reconciliation. And then obviously we had Philemon who is supposed to respond in kind to this receiving of Onesimus. Okay. Onesimus was a slave. Obviously we've covered that, but Onesimus means useless. The word Onesimus means useless, and so we have a play on words here, where Paul actually tells him that he has been made useful. In fact, he's so useful that he is not only delivering this letter to Philemon on his behalf, but Paul is sending him out with the letter to the Colossians. And so Paul, so Onesimus is being helpful that way, but he must have been very helpful to Paul. In fact, Paul says that he was that he's sending his very own heart with Onesimus, that he's sending his very own heart. Now, we can't study Philemon without talking about the society we live in right now. Obviously, we live in a post-Civil War time where slavery is obviously a big deal. We know that it's wrong to have slavery, and we know that it's wrong to treat image bearers of God less than full people, and to live that way. And so there have been times over history where people might have used Philemon to say that slavery was correct or right or something that was okay. And so, and then there's many people, scholars today, that would say, well, why doesn't Paul address that in here? Why doesn't Paul talk about slavery? And why doesn't he complain about the Roman government and the way it is? Why doesn't he stand up for these slaves? Why would he send him back to his owner, to his master, excuse me? And I think the answer here is, if you'll follow with me through Philemon, is in several things. There's two answers. And then let's start with the first one. Verse 1, we're going to look at several thing key words here that are going to show us. So Paul says, he usually would say that he's an apostle, but he says, verse 1, a prisoner. And then if you scroll down in verse 10, whose father I became in my imprisonment. And then in verse 13 at the end, he says that during my imprisonment for the gospel. And then he says in verse 23 that he's my fellow prisoner. First thing is that Paul is a prisoner for the gospel. The gospel, believing the gospel, does not change where our status is in life. In fact, our status goes down for Paul. It doesn't change what job we have. It doesn't change what career we have. It doesn't change our position in life. It doesn't change the government because we believe. And that's the trap that people in the word of faith and the prosperity gospel fall for, is that for some reason the gospel would change who the position we do in life. All of a sudden I have money and I have wealth and I have higher status. In fact, no, the very opposite has happened here for Paul, where he had status and he lost it. He is now a very prisoner because of the gospel. And so we have to watch out for our thinking that because Onesimus believes, that would cause him to no longer be a slave. In the eyes of the government, he was most definitely a slave still. So that is one aspect there. And instead, the gospel does something much more deep and within us. It takes us from being a slave to sin. It takes us from being only in our own lusts and desires. And in our own ways, the gospel changes our very hearts. It goes much deeper than our position in life. It goes much deeper than anything else. But it changes us from an enemy to Christ to a son, adopted heir. No longer does God say, you are my enemy. But now he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. And he adopts you. And so we must watch out for the thoughts that for some reason that Onesimus would not be a slave any longer. But because he was saved, if you look, Paul says to him that, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. How about I go back up a verse? Verse 16. He's no longer a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. So he gives Philemon back his slave, but not as a slave any longer. He gives him back as a redeemed brother in Christ. And so he, in the eyes of Philemon, he's to view him as a redeemed brother in Christ and no longer as a slave. Even though in the eyes of the government, nothing has changed for Onesimus. Even though that he would still be considered a slave, he is now a redeemed brother in Christ. So, where do we go from here? Every issue, every division that we have, either among us or among other Christians, or problems you have, you see, we need to preach the gospel to one another. The gospel that is that Jesus Christ died for you, and then now you have died to your fleshly desires, to your wants and desires. And now you are reconciled to God, and he is reconciling us together as a body of believers. And so if you have an issue, we now see that Philemon is an example of the ministry of reconciliation for us. And that despite all of our sin and all of our past misgivings, Christ's righteousness is now ours. And Christ took upon himself the sins of the world. Let's pray.